Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
In this life, one of the ways that we see the value of something is by what it's worth. So, for example, if I want to sell my car, I'm only going to get for my car what my car is worth, the value of it. It's worth what someone is willing to pay for it. That's what it's worth. What I don't understand so often about you and I is that we don't look at our value that way. We look at our value at the way that people judge us according to our achievements, our success. In this world, that's how we grade or place or have a self-esteem rather of our own value. Where the truth is if we truly take a look at how valuable we are, the Father has paid a great price for you. Amen. Amen. A great price. What are you willing to pay for something? That's how you'll know how valuable that is to you. So how valuable are you? You must be worth quite a bit if he was willing to send his son to die for you. Can you say amen? How many of you have ever lost something in your house that has great value? When you lose something in your house that has value, you will turn your house inside out and upside down to try and find whatever it is that you've lost. You will seek it, if it has a high value, with everything inside of you. You will go after that thing with everything inside of you. If you lose a valuable piece of jewelry that someone gave you that was so sacred to you, maybe it was something your father gave you or something like that, and you value it tremendously and now it's gone missing. You will turn the house inside out, upside down, looking for that thing of value. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the presence of God. Now, you know, these are our encounter services, so, you know, tonight we'll stay true to what it is. Amen. And we will go and have a look at two keys I want to give you tonight to walking with God that will help you so much when it comes to His presence. Because the truth is if you want His presence, it's valuable. You're going to have to seek it. So many of us love to come to church. We love to walk in power. We love to encounter God's power. But as soon as the heat gets turned up in the kitchen and things don't go so well and the pastor doesn't do what we like, we move on very quickly. I want to show you tonight two or three things that I believe will really help you. Don't get stuck on power. Power is good. I love the power of God. The Bible says that we should put our faith not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It's a scripture, so don't look at me funny. Amen. Amen. People get so funny, you know. Amen. And please, yeah, amen. Let me just stop. Okay. You know, I love you guys so much. I really do. It's my desire to see you walk in the fullness of God. And, you know, I know what it's like to be someone that really seeks the power of God because I've seen what the power of God does in people's lives. But there's a scripture that says that, you know, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And Jesus turns around and says, depart from me. I do not know you. And he says some other stuff too. We won't go into that this evening. But the fact is that you could even walk in power and not really know who he is. I'd rather walk in power than not walk in power. But there's so much more to it than walking in power. You want to know him. Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, and that he would be just like him, that he would replace him here on earth. Never replace him, but here on earth. And the one that would be here with us on earth would be the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you know him? Do you know the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He has feelings. He's a real person. If Jesus said that he would be just like me, that means he'll teach you. He has feelings. He likes stuff. He doesn't like stuff. And he has to live in you. I don't know if he always likes that, you know. I know there's times he probably thinks, man, I don't want to be near you today. I don't want to be near me some days. Amen. But in order for you to truly walk in his power and in his presence, you have to change. And often that requires changing the way we think, which I've been teaching you over the last few weeks. Now let's quickly go in our Bibles. We'll take a look at a couple of things this evening. The sooner you recognize that the value of your life is extremely high and that the price that was paid for your life was a high price, the sooner you'll realize that there's a lot that God sees in you and that you can do. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, verse number 5. We know the story, and that's okay because I'm going to show you something this evening out of the story that maybe you haven't seen before. Samuel the prophet is about to go and anoint David as king. And I think oftentimes many of us are just like David in the sense that we don't always get noticed. Watch this. So Samuel comes into the area where David is, and you know the prophet comes to town. They want to know if you know he's come peaceably. And so the prophet answers and said, and he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now I want you to take note, he consecrates Jesse and his sons and invites them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for the Lord looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons passed before Samuel and said to Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. Now let's just stop there for a minute. You might be in a church, you might be in this church, this might be your church, and you have gifts and talents and all this stuff. But when the great prophet comes to town, maybe you don't get the word. Maybe you don't get called out. Maybe you haven't had the amazing breakthrough or heard something incredible about your destiny, even though in your heart you already know. In your heart, you already know. Samuel arrives in town and Samuel says, I want you to bring all your sons. We need to go and have a meal together. David doesn't get invited to the party. How many of you here this evening, if you weren't invited to the party, would get offended? I think I'd get upset if I wasn't invited to the party. Imagine if your dad was asked, I want you to bring all your sons because I'm going to anoint the new king of Vera Beach. And your father says, okay, and he takes all the sons, but he leaves you. How are you going to feel? But David doesn't get offended. David doesn't leave. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't get chosen to be at the banquet, would you leave? It's a tough question, isn't it? What would we do? How would we react? And this is how so many Christians are today. So many of us, when we don't get the promotion, when we don't get noticed, when we feel like we've been overlooked, we leave. But David chooses to stay in his position as the shepherd boy, watching the sheep, which seems so insignificant and not important at all. But what you need to realize, if you look at the story, look at this. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." In other words, you don't want him. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit till he comes here." Next verse. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Bam. How is it that David, the one who's overlooked, suddenly gets chosen and gets anointed as king when he was the one that everyone overlooked, the one that they thought he's too young, he just doesn't have what it takes, he's not ready. He was overlooked, but yet he did two things. The first thing he did is he stayed. Even when he could have gotten offended, he chose to stay. Not many of us would stay after we haven't been recognized for our many talents and our many gifts. David decided to stay. I've watched as people come into the church, very gifted, very anointed, call of God on their lives. God even will speak to me about those people, but the time isn't necessarily right to speak to them. And even there have been times where I have spoken to them and told them that God has a plan. I told one guy, he's going to plant a church. I said, "God showed me you will plant a church." But he didn't want to wait because it wasn't fast enough for him. So he chose to leave. And that's okay. And maybe that was God's plan. I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is that David, in the moment of pressure, stuck to his post as the shepherd boy. You might feel like, well, you know, I'm just a cell leader or youth group leader. I'm just a greeter. I'm just an usher. I just do the very least. Well, I want to encourage you to continue to do the least at the very best that you can. Because it's when you're faithful in the least that God will promote you to do the most. You see, he took David unexpectedly. Not only did he take him to the banquet, but he also anointed him king of Israel. There are people that will be sitting here this evening, and God has a great plan for your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go the process? Are you willing to go through the process of being developed so that God can take you and use you the way that he desires to use you? You see, one of the tests that we will always have is, will we get offended? I remember once I went to a conference, and I was at the conference, and the man of God was praying for us, and he had my hand in one hand and another guy's hand in the other hand, and he was saying his name, but I knew the word was for me. I mean, he had my hand, you know, and he kept on saying Jesse or whatever the guy's name was, and I'm thinking, yes, that's not Jesse, man, it's Alex. And he was saying all this awesome stuff. I mean, yo, I had to take it. He's going on about churches and planting churches and da 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 da. And then he said, "And God's going to do all this, but not yet." He said, "Because where you start," I'll never forget it. He said, "Where you start, you will be tested." He said, "You will be tested. You will be tested and you'll be tested again. And there will be offense that will try. They will come and bring offense. And they will accuse you and da 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 and all this stuff." And I thought to myself, you know, I can handle that. It's easy. And I remember after planting the church, the amount of opposition that we got was unreal. "You just the latest thing, and you this, and false prophets," and I don't even want to go there, what they've said. And then there's the other thing of having to deal with with situations that are so uncomfortable and having the ability to do that. I wouldn't have been able to do it 5 years ago, but now it becomes a lot easier for me. After I face a very difficult thing in a day, at the end of the day, I go home and it's like, I'm okay. But I remember when we planted the church, if someone just said on Facebook that they thought I was ugly, it would be like really upsetting. I would go home and pout and mourn, and I would be broken inside and think, yes, I'm actually not that bad. And, you know, that's how it would be. But now I can kind of like, well, I don't really care. You're pretty ugly yourself. Amen. You know. Okay, I don't say that. Amen. I say, okay, well, you're not really an oil painting yourself. Amen. Okay, that's as bad as it gets. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is that before you can step into destiny, you're going to have to be able to handle some stuff. And your development will take place in a place where you will not be in a position where the enemy can attack you and attack you and attack you. You have to be able to handle it. I have to be able to handle it, and I'm growing every day. It becomes less and less affecting of me. Whatever. I think you get the point. I don't know what's going on. Amen. It affects me less and less as time goes on, but it still affects me. And I watch the young guys around me, how things affect them. And I remember how I used to be when I was like that. I used to get affected so badly as well. Now I'm like, God, you better sort this out. This is your church. But you see, I wasn't there a while ago. And I think when in the future, I'll never forget, Pastor Harold said to me once, he said, it never becomes less, it just becomes easier to handle. So God will develop you. But if you can't handle not being invited to the party, you'll never be able to handle what I'm talking about now. And I watch them come in, gifted, sitting here even now, gifted, great gifts, great callings. They go from church to church, just like that. They can never settle. And the reason why they can never settle is because everybody else does everything wrong and they right. Preach, Pastor, preach. You have to be planted. A tree cannot bear any fruit if it's not planted. It has to be in the ground. When Jesus died on the cross, his disciples scattered. While he was with them, they had fellowship. When he died, they scattered. When the Spirit of God came again, they were together again. The Spirit brings unity. The Spirit brings fellowship. The Spirit brings community. The Spirit brings all of that. You need to be a part of that. The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Listen, your destiny and your purpose within the body of Christ will be developed within the body. Oh, I don't need church. Okay. You do need it. In fact, the ones who say I don't need it very badly. This is not the way this was supposed to go. I'm just saying. Amen. Now watch. Let's keep going. So the first key I want you to look at in the life of David is that even though David was able to kill bears and lions, the first thing he did right was he didn't get offended when he could have got offended, gets anointed as king, gets sent back straight back to his post. Amen. But the second key, and here is the, man, this is the greatest key. Because even in your mistakes that we will all make, if you can get this right, you will be preserved. David was someone who sought the presence of God. David always longed for God's presence. Yes, he wanted to be a mighty warrior. Yes, he wanted to be the king of Israel. But his greatest desire was God's presence. And I'll prove it to you Watch this now. I'm going to give you two scriptures just to see his heart. Psalm 63, verse number 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. This is the way he speaks to God. This is his heart towards God. He's not saying, oh God, give me your power. Oh God, anoint me so that I can be the great guru and the one with all the power for the hour right now. No, he says, God, I long for you. I want to know you more. I want your presence more. I desire to be with you. My flesh longs for you. If you go to a place where the presence of God is and the presence comes in the room, there's nothing better. It's like everything shifts and changes. And I mean, it doesn't matter what's on you. It just leaves because nothing likes the presence of God that is dark. That's why the distressing spirit would leave Saul when David would play his instrument. Because the presence of God would come and the distressing spirit could not remain. It had to leave. So when something is distressing you, the secret is to go to the presence of God to remove that distressing spirit that's on your life. Keep your heart right and seek God with everything that you desire, with everything in your heart. I watch them come in. Many people get touched by the power of God. Many people encounter his power. Many people go after his power, but they don't go after his presence. The gifts, the gifts, the gifts. I'm so happy. I also like the gifts. But if you can become his presence, I want to know him more. Therein lies the secret to David's success. Watch this now. Psalm 51, verse number 1. And this is when David messes up with Bathsheba. Look at how he speaks to God. He doesn't get angry with God because of what's about to take place. He doesn't get mad. Look at these hearts. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and do this and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Look at how this man speaks to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Now watch, and do not cast from me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The deepest cry of his heart was not, oh God, please don't take the throne away from me. I'm the king, I've messed up. Please don't take the throne. You took the throne from Saul, don't take it away from me. The deepest cry of his heart was, God, don't take your spirit away from me. Don't take away your presence from me. Why? Because he understood the value of the presence of God. Because when he was a shepherd boy, he was already worshiping God. You see, what's interesting is that while he was a shepherd boy looking after the sheep, no one was watching him. But he would play his instrument and he would worship God. And God would look upon him while he was being faithful in the least. And he would worship God. And he would praise God. And he would seek God with all of his heart. And that's why God would promote him to be who he was. And when the pressure came in and David was afraid of what God might do to him, his deepest cry was, God, don't take away your spirit from me. How hungry are we for the Spirit of God? Are we more interested in God blessing us financially, healing our bodies, taking care of all the stuff, or are we hungry for His presence? Listen, those things will come. I love the power. But the cry of your heart should be, Lord, I want to know You. When God told Moses, listen, Moses, I'm going to send an angel with you and miracles will still happen and signs and wonders will still happen. Moses said to God, listen, God, if You don't come with me, I'm not going. If You don't come with me, I need to know You. I need to know Your ways. Show me Your glory. Show me Your presence. Let me know Your presence. The thing that today we place very little value on was so valuable back in the Old Testament. Do you know that only the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies? You have access to the Holy of Holies right now. The question is, are you hungry for it? Does your skin, does your flesh long for the presence of God? Amen. I'm almost done. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus while He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers came down to Him and they asked who He was. Are You Jesus? And He turned around and He said, I am. And when He said this, power came out of Him and they all fell down. What's interesting is the power didn't change them. Yes, there was power, but it didn't change them. Why? Because they didn't want the presence. They didn't want to know Him. They just came to arrest Him. The power can touch you. It can even heal you. But are you going to go after His presence? Like David went after His presence. Because if you go after His presence, that's where there's healing. That's where there's joy. That's where there's peace. That's where there's restoration. That's where you'll be able to handle being in that place where nobody sees you. Because guess what? What happens in secret, I've taught you this, will be shouted from the rooftops. If you seek Him in secret, He will promote you in public. He's looking for those who will seek Him in spirit and in truth. Those who are hungry and thirsty for His Spirit. One more story and then I'm done. Many people seek the power, but they don't seek the presence. Luke 17 verse number 11. And I know you know the story, but just watch this. Now it happened as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Only this foreigner came back. We want the power. Do we want the presence as well? You see, here's the reality. The presence will bring change in your life. Spending time in His presence, in His word, in prayer, in worship, will cause you to begin to get changed. It's only the ones that seek the presence that come back. The ones that get healed, they've got what they want. And oftentimes they don't come back because they don't desire the presence. Two keys tonight. Number one, Don't get offended. Number two, seek His presence. Seek His presence with everything inside of you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.